Hello, friends, and this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle here in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. Last Saturday, on April 16th, I went with my friends from the Yamato office in Tokyo, Japan, including Michiko Hayashi, Hiramoto Roko, and did some wonderful prayers at Fukushima for the children and people of Fukushima area and Japan and the planet. I had a wonderful time, and I know that our prayers and the prayers of all my listeners around the world really helped. I want to thank everyone for sending love and light to Fukushima. And with that, I'd like to ask everyone listening again today to please send lots of love and light to the children and people of Fukushima with this water prayer. And if you could please repeat it three times, it'd be wonderful. Water, we are sorry. Water, we forgive you. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. Again, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive. Actually, I should say, water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. Again, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. When I was in Japan, there was a series of major earthquakes around the Kyushu area in southern Japan, and one of the wonderful people from the Yamato office in Tokyo named Fukiko lost her family home in these earthquakes. So I'm asking everyone to please send love and light to the people who were affected by this tragic event and to Fukiko who lost her family home. I hope you'll enjoy today's program, which I think you'll find really out of this world. The radio program is a nonprofit program and supported entirely by donations. And if you'd like to donate, please go to the website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I wanted to tell everyone that for anyone who donates $25 or more today, I'll be happy to give you a free psychic reading and also send you a signed colored copy of an angel that appeared. That appeared in my window of my plane as I flew across the Pacific to Tokyo last week. It's an amazing photo that I think you'll really enjoy. It's an angel with actual wings surrounded by pink. And the pink portion, I think, represents love. And for those who are interested, please just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or just call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. And with that, I want to thank everyone for their wonderful donations and support, especially Judith in California, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, and everyone around the world who's also helped this program and make this planet a better place. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon, the Tokelin Hotel in Tokelin, Washington, and the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. And I know that with everyone's help, we'll make this planet a much better place. I'd also like to thank the wonderful sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol's, designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiramoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Krema, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. I've started a new spiritual mentoring program for those interested in getting in touch with the other side and talking to friends and family who've passed on. Please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I can also be reached here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. I have two new blogs on it this week. One's about angels and Fukushima. And the end of evil as an experiment on this planet and how the tide has turned on the planet to making the planet a far better, much more happier place. When you go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, just click on Ask Ted and you'll see my new blogs. I want to thank everyone for helping me with this program. I truly want to make this a program that raises consciousness and makes this world a better place. I'd like to go to our first guest, who's been waiting patiently on the line, Dr. Angel Fernandez. He just arrived. He's from the Dominican Republic, and he's sponsoring a wonderful conference in the Dominican Republic from August 19th to the 21st. I'll be one of the keynote speakers. Their website is www.paxluxmundi.com. And I want to welcome Dr. Fernandez to the program. Hello, Angel Louise. How are you this morning?
Hello, very well. I'm just arriving in New York, and very happy to be with all of you today. Thank you for inviting me again.
Oh, my pleasure. Always welcome on the program, Dr. Fernandez. Now, at your website, you have some incredibly interesting people lined up. And if I could, I'd like to mention a few names here. Roy Littleson, who's a Hopi spiritual guide. And forgive me, I hope I get this pronunciation right. Victor Truvanio,
Actually, Victor Truvanio is an Argentinian who lives in Indonesia at this very moment. And he practices the Aeneidia. This is a process by which some human beings are able to be conducting themselves through life without eating or drinking anything at all.
Wow.
In the case of Victor Truvanio, he's been doing this since the last 7 years. So he will be very interesting at the conference. I mean, being able to share all of his experiences and whatever he's been doing or managing to conduct himself in such a state, you know. Another one that is very unusual is Braco. Actually, they call him Braxo. This is a Croatian who is a person who heals using his eyes. So he will be able to conduct his whole address at the Second World Conference on Peace and Light without speaking any single word. I mean, he will conduct his keynote address using telepathy. It will be very shocking for everybody attending. Then we have Dr. Madame Bolie and Dr. Melanie Rustner, who is a very famous person. He's also a psychic and a medium. She lives in Canada. Roy Littleson, who is a Hopi grandfather. He will share with us all those ancient knowledge of the Hopi Indians.
Beautiful.
Then we have Mish Enti and Matthias DeStefano, Michiko Hayashi.
Oh, yes.
Who is a friend of yours also. And, of course, we are having Ted Maher. That's one of our most important speakers.
Well,
we have Stuart Pierce, who is considered to be the number one coach in the world. He's been personal trainer, Princess Diana in England, and Premier Margaret Thatcher. And we have Julia Vivioni, Fernando Malcolm, and many others. I mean, it's going to be very shocking, this conference. And also, we'll be developing workshops. I can share with you some of them. There will be one on near-death experiences. Another is about transcendental meditation. Remembrances of the future, the pollution, the noise pollution, internal civilization, the search for extraterrestrial life, the stones of Ojuelos in Mexico, and I mean the keys of good health. Clairvoyance and mediunity. I mean, it's going to be very, very, very special. And in terms of a round table, there will be three round tables. One about the tombs of Jesus, different tombs of Jesus throughout the world.
Wow.
The other is the sun and hell. And the last one, ancient wisdom. So as you can imagine, it's very filled with knowledge, peace, and light.
This is such an incredible conference you've arranged, Dr. Fernandez, and I just want to thank you so much and your other, and Judith and everyone for arranging this incredible, incredible event. One of the most interesting people you mentioned was Victor Truvanio, and I hope I pronounced that correct, from Argentina. He doesn't eat anything, but I think that I know that the planet as a whole is shifting from this dimension, the third dimension, into the fifth dimension. And, of course, in the fifth dimension, the spirits there, the entities which exist there, don't eat. And this man must be very highly spiritually evolved to be able to not eat anything.
Yes, definitely, yes. But there are many people like him. I mean, he's a public person, but there are many others. I mean, and throughout history, we find numerous examples. I mean, this is perfectly visible in the third dimension also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the only case, but it will be the case, the probably the only one that is truly public, and the person who may be able to share everything with the rest of the audience, with the rest of the people attending, which will be very enriching and rewarding, because everybody will have the chance to talk to him and find out what happened, the way he behaves, how did he manage to do this, and basically how how is he able to survive without eating and drinking anything?
Fascinating, fascinating. I wanted to tell you, my guest coming on in a few minutes is a wonderful lady named Mary Rodwell. She's from Queensland, Australia, Dr. Fernandez, and she has worked with over 3,000 what she calls star children, children who are in human form, but they're not from this planet. And they're very, very evolved souls here to help us evolve into to the higher dimensions and improve life on this planet. So anyway, she's on my next guest, and I think I just, if you can, I urge you to listen. I think you'd find it interesting to have her on.
Yes, I will definitely do that. I mean, it seems to be truly interesting.
Hmm? Yeah.
Is he a man or a woman?
It's a woman. Mary Rodwell. Yeah, Mary Rodwell.
What is her name again?
Mary Rodwell. I'll send you her contact information after the show.
Okay. I will appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And then just before the going on the air now, Dr. Fernandez, you told me something really interesting. You said you were going to Mexico to look at UFOs. Would you mind explaining that a little bit? That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, because I'm trying to put together a documentary on certain stones that were found in Ojuelos in Jalisco.
Mm-hmm.
These stones had been engraved thousands of years ago by an ancient civilization living there in the area, and they illustrate the different contacts they had at that time with people from somewhere else in space. But the ideograms, the paintings, the drawings are so good. I mean, I could say that they represent the highest resolution that I have ever seen. I mean, I've known the stones of Ica in Peru, but these are far beyond, much better realized, and you can see aliens and UFOs everywhere, and people from the Earth living together with people coming from space.
Wow.
It's really interesting. I'm going there. And I'm going to try to make a documentary and share it with the rest of the world.
Fantastic! That's really incredible. When I was a speaker at a UFO conference last August of last year at Mount Shasta, and when I was there, Dr. Fernandez, I met a gentleman from Mexico. Perhaps you know him, who brought these beautiful stones, which had engraved UFOs flying around on the stones, with detailed descriptions of different extraterrestrials. I'll try to, if you like, I'd be happy to. Maybe it's the same person who's you're seeing there in Mexico. I don't know.
Perhaps.
But that sounds just incredible. Well, I wanted to give out the website again for this wonderful conference that you're having from August 19th to the 21st. It's at www.paxluxmundi.com. And Dr. Fernandez, I just want to thank you so much for coming on today. You're always interesting, wonderful to have on. And I want to thank you again for hosting this wonderful conference.
Thank you again, Ted, for inviting me. And I look forward to having many of your listeners coming to the conference.
Wonderful.
It will be a unique conference. This is a true international event. And we'll have simultaneous translation. So everybody's welcome, wherever they may be roaming from.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Dr. Fernandez, thank you so much for coming on today, and I'll have you on again very soon. And I'm urging all my listeners around the world to please attend this wonderful conference.
Thank you again.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Fernandez. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day. Thank you. That was Dr. Angel Luis Fernandez coming to us live. He's actually in the Dominican Republic, just flew into New York City. And he's having this wonderful conference of peace and light. The website again is www.paxluxmundi.com, and I urge everyone to please go if they can. It's not far from Miami, and it's easy to get to. With that, I'd like to bring on my next guest from Australia. This is a wonderful lady named Mary Rodwell, and I just wanted to check with my sound engineer to see if we've been able to get a hold of her. Mary, are you there?
I am indeed, Ted. Good to speak with you.
Well, good to talk to you too, Mary. You know, the connection is so good on Skype, it's like you're right next door in the same room that we are, even though you are probably 10,000 miles away from where I am.
Isn't it brilliant, technology?
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. You know, I have friends in Norway who I know, and they spoke very highly of you, and they said, they sent me several emails. She said, you've got to get a hold of Mary Rodwell and ask her on your show. So here you are, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on today.
It's an absolute pleasure.
I'd like to give a little bit of your background. You are a former nurse, midwife, counselor, and hypotherapist, the author of Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life. You're the principal of ACERN, A-C-E-R-N, which is the Australian Close Encounter Resource Network. Your website is www.acern.com.au. And your Facebook is www.facebook.com/acern.com.au. And you're the co-founder and director of FREE, a Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. And your website is www.experiencer.org. All of this information, by the way, is on my website about Mary at www.outofthisworld1150.com. So if you missed it, just please go to my website. It's all there. You have offered emotional and therapeutic support to over 3,000 cases of encounters with non-human intelligences globally, both adults and children. You're now completing your second book called The New Human, which shares accounts of encounters from children as young as 3 years old and the intergenerational links with encounters. There's evidence in the form of changes in perception, abilities, and focus, which alters these individuals after contacts. And there's new programs for the awakening of humanity, which children and adults describe as part of their understanding through their encounters. And with that, Mary, how did you get interested in this particular area, by the way?
Well, it's called synchronicity, isn't it, Ted? You know, when you get led, I always make the comment that 40 years ago as a nurse midwife, if you'd told me 40 years later, I'd be traveling the world talking about UFOs and aliens and star seeds, I'd have probably sent you to the nearest psychiatrist. So we get led into these things. Counseling really opened me up to many types of human experience, but it was when a gentleman came to see me over 20 years ago who said, look, there are support groups for everything, but for this, they just think you're a loony, and then proceeded to tell me about his experiences being taken up onto spacecraft, being left with marks on his body, shaved areas, etc. And what was convincing, not only because of the authenticity of how he was speaking to me, was that the whole family was involved. This was obviously not a fantasy, imagination, hallucination. This was a family that really didn't know how to support what was going on, understand what was going on, and were very, very frightened because nobody was listening. And even the family, their relatives thought that this was demons. So, you know, I'm sure your listeners would relate to why that would be. But that was really me embracing the rabbit hole that I call this this phenomena.
Fascinating, fascinating. Well, you probably have, since you've studied over 3,000 cases of encounters with non-human entities, what do they look like? Do they look like us? Do they look different? And are they positive or negative experiences for the people you've talked to?
Look, it seems that whatever we can almost imagine, there are forms that have been visiting different people. That the majority of the public still only know that, or that there are those called the Greys or the Zetas, you know, various forms of bald-headed beings that have big black eyes, no hair, no ears, etc. But there are many, many humanoid type beings. For example, there are crystalline beings. There are cat, feline type beings. We, many know about the reptilians or whatever, but they're dragon type beings as well as reptilians. They're not the same. For example, energy beings, many, many, as I say, different types of humanoid blue beings. So the range is huge. And, you know, mantis are also another one, which is almost like an insect-like praying mantis type being as well. And that's very common. One of the interesting things with being involved in the Foundation of Free, for example, is mm-hmm. that we're doing surveys at the moment. Some of them very, very involved. One of them is over 2,000 individuals that have filled out the survey. And what we're finding is a huge range of different beings that people have seen. Humanoids and greys seem to be the preponderance of those types of beings, but mm-hmm. there's a whole range of, you know, strange to very, very humanoid. Mm-hmm. So really and truly, we are being visited mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. an amazing collection of a galactic community, even if the public yet isn't aware of it.
Mm. Well, that's just fascinating. I know that there are two main groups who I know of that visit this planet. One group, large group, is called the Reptilians, which are negatively based. And then there's a second group called the Galactic Alliance, who, from my own contacts with them, are positively based, and they're also based on love and harmony. And their technology is about between 50 to 100,000 years ahead of us, Mary, from what I know. And they are between 30 to 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. Many of them look like us. They are very benevolent, and they're concerned about us here on the planet. So they're trying to help us behind the scenes. The crystalline beings caught my attention just now, because I remember there was an old episode on Star Trek. You probably saw it, where there was this crystalline structure that came in, and it was destroying planets. Are they benevolent? What do they look like? Do they look like crystals? They exist in outer space and they look like crystals, Mary?
Yes, they do have a kind of humanoid form, but they are crystalline in nature and what have you. And you'd be amazed at how many people connect to that particular those kinds of intelligences as well. Mm-hmm. I think we just have to understand that the diversity of what can be created mm-hmm. and is created around, you know, these many universes. And I mean, the important thing here, and I'm sure, Ted, you know this, that we live in many dimensions. There are many dimensions out there. Mm-hmm. So some of them are interdimensional, extra-dimensional, mm-hmm. trans-dimensional, and also those coming, even visiting from our future as well. So mm-hmm. we've got this matrix of intelligence and consciousness that is part of not just our own physical reality, mm-hmm. but a multidimensional reality.
Fascinating. I know that our bodies exist more than just in this third dimension, that we have other dimensions with our bodies too. And a good psychic, I think, can tie into the higher dimensions to tap into to what's called a universe of knowledge. Please tell me, I'd love to have you share some of the more fascinating experiences you've had with children and adults in their encounters. If you wouldn't mind sharing a couple of stories, would be wonderful.
Well, there are so many, and it is so rich. Often I'm asked for some of the more profound, and quite honestly, for many cases, they are very profound mm-hmm. and change people's lives. Mm-hmm. But because I'm writing about primarily the children and teenagers at the moment, the mm-hmm. reason that I'm focusing on them, although the book also has the parents' experiences as well, because this is intergenerational, and it's one of the common patterns is that it does go through bloodlines and the genetics of each family, because we are being, I believe, progressively upgraded and switched on, if you like. Mm-hmm. One of the fascinating things that comes with this is how it challenges belief systems. And in one of the chapters, one of the most fascinating for me is where we've got, it's a chapter on God. And the interesting thing is this young lady who's 9 told me that we all originate from Dayland. And she doesn't want to use the word God because she says it's misused. And she says, this is where we all come from and the angels and the light live. And the over-terrestrial is who is in the source of Dayland, for example. So the chapter on God is really where we've got what was interesting for me recently in it is a young 10-year-old who is being supported by a Christian minister. And the interesting thing is, both in his past life, where he tells her about his past life, he tells her about him having experiences with both green-type beings and a grey-blue-type being. But what is also fascinating, a past life he had where he actually spoke to me as well with his parents and with the minister, saying he came from a planet where he was humanoid. Mm-hmm. And he talked about a base on his planet, mm-hmm, where the Anunnaki actually brought human beings to be upgraded with Anunnaki DNA. And he said that was to make them more like the Anunnaki. And I said, well, how tall were the Anunnaki? He said, well, they were twice the height of humans. Mm-hmm. But what is even more fascinating is that he talked about being a scientist on this planet. And when he came to the Earth, he actually crashed. And the craft that he rebuilt is actually in an image in Kosovo in a monastery. And the picture is one of the ones that many ufologists put up as a being inside a spacecraft. That's his spacecraft.
Really?
And he actually talked about having an injured arm. And if you look closely at this image that's in, you know, that's in this monastery in Kosovo, you can see an injured arm. And he explained how he had to have a mechanical arm to operate so that he could go back to his planet. So there is a child that's 10 years old in the UK telling a Christian minister his story about having crashed in a previous lifetime, but also about his encounters and being supported by them, which is actually fascinating. So this is challenging everyone, whether or not it's, you know, from a belief, you know, as a scientist, or whether or not it's through your belief systems, your religious belief systems. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is the children have an integrity with their accounts that is not from talk shows, is not from watching TV.
It
has an amazing integrity in terms of very profound concepts. And that's just one of the accounts that I'll be talking about and writing about. But not only that, they are talking about what's going on this planet. They understand things about the moon and Mars, talk about a lot of the conspiratorial information that mostly adults can only access on the internet. But they are already aware of what's going on this planet and how they've come to make the changes and their abilities that go with that.
Incredible. I have a friend of mine who does my who's doing some web work for me, and he knows a gentleman. Actually, it's a long story. He's psychic himself, and he has a friend of his who has a cat. And he's been able, I'm not making this story up, it sounds out of this world, but it's true what he told me. He said he's able to communicate telepathically with the cat. And the cat, he says, is not from this planet. And the cat actually is from another planet who came here voluntarily to observe human life. And he came as a cat to live with the human family to see how we humans live on this planet. But and the other thing I wanted to tell you too is that next Friday, a week from today, on my show here, I'll be having you probably know about her, Barbara Hancloud from from a wonderful lady. She's a Pleiadian contact. She'll be on my show from 3 to 4 p.m. She's done a lot of work with the Mayans. A wonderful lady. I can't wait to have her on. And then during my first hour a week from today, I'll be having Paul Hellyer on, who's the former Canadian defense minister, who will be talking about his own knowledge of Canadian and U.S. government involvement with extraterrestrials.
I know that you're obviously a very aware gentleman, Ted, from everything that you've been speaking about, and it's lovely to be able to be that open. Mm-hmm. Let me say that many of these starseed, these children, which, you know, I call Homo Noeticus, the ones from 2000, many of them communicate with animals. And I recall one of the little 8-year-olds that spoke to me, and I said, you know, we were talking about his mission, and he said, my mission is, because I can communicate with animals, is to help humans understand and take care of animals, because they're very important. Mm-hmm, and I have, he also talked about going up on the craft. And sometimes he said, because the mantid beings are his family, that's where he'll go back to when he dies. His origins are mantid. And he said that sometimes on the craft, he evaporates into his mantid form. So I actually said to him, how does that feel? He said, well, it's a bit strange, but it's okay. So here we've got an eight-year-old talking about his essence, his soul self, moving into different forms and then coming back into his human form as well. Now, these concepts are extremely profound. And he is one of a number that have, I also talked to a little girl only recently from the US, and she mm-hmm. explained mm-hmm. to me that sometimes she's in a human form on the craft, but occasionally she had this one time where she moved into a Zeta form to perform certain tasks and then came back to a human form. So we've got these cases of, you know, the soul moving into other forms for a time, for whatever task and what have you. And why not then, you know, can the soul not go into other different forms, whether or not we would see them as, you know, for us, it's a cat, it's an animal form. Why not? You know, we have such a contained idea of what the soul can do. And I've, you know, like yourself, I've heard of people going and into other dimensions through hypnosis, and mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. Explaining they have other lives in other universes, in parallel lives, and where they're living as well at this moment that we call time, which isn't actually time, they say, is not linear, that no. In fact everything is now. So it's about us expanding our understanding of what we think can be possible, and realizing that everything is possible, and probably far more than we can even imagine is possible.
Well, I have to tell you a little bit. You brought up a fascinating subject. I myself have been told that I've been here 52,000 years. I originally came from the Pleiades. I was exiled here in 52,000 years ago, and they just kind of dropped me off and said, "Good luck." So, but part of my sole purpose this time around is to raise consciousness and make this planet a much better place. And have you done much regression in your own life, in your own soul, and where you're from, Mary?
I've done some, not as much as others. I'm usually the one that does the facilitating, because I found exploring with others as you can through hypnosis, mm-hmm. where they go into unity consciousness, etc. Mm-hmm. But I have had a number of lives on this planet. One of them was as a Roman soldier, which was very interesting because mm-hmm. I ended up on Hadrian's Wall in England talking about the barbarians, which were the Scots, mm-hmm. and how they finally finished me off. But mm-hmm. what also was interesting, I did have one experience where I was connecting to souls in this lifetime, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the planet, or what appeared to be a planetary body, wasn't solid. It was almost like a multicolored ball of wool of energy. And I was going to connect with other souls that I was going to share this particular human journey with. And we were having a discussion as souls about our different roles, and basically conveying to one another that we would meet in 10 years from that point, mm-hmm. and that we were actually, you know, showing each other our human form, not to forget that we are all connected and that we've got this mission, which was quite fascinating because I thought, oh, maybe I'm going to end up on a spacecraft or something like that.
It was
an energetic planet. It was a planet full of different frequencies, and we connected through frequency. So I found that quite fascinating. But I've connected with one very intuitive lady who said, Mary, you were an ET anthropologist, studying other ET species. And that sort of fitted for me because I feel in a way I'm doing the same thing with human beings, mm-hmm. with my work, with experiences. So mm-hmm. maybe I'm doing the same thing on this planet this time round.
Well, I'm a psychic, and I can tell you the message I'm getting where you're from, if you like. I can.
Yes, please.
Yes, you volunteered to be down here. I don't think you ended up here like in a prison planet like I did, but you did volunteer to come down here to study us and enlighten us here on the planet. And the message I'm getting is that you're from the Pleiades, which is a wonderful place. I'm from there myself. I wanted to share this with you. It was kind of interesting. In 1996, before she passed away, Dolores Cannon, wonderful psychic, gave me a reading, and she put me under hypnosis. It felt like, Mary, I was under hypnosis for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, but it actually turned out to be about 3 hours. And I didn't ask her to do this, but she put me ahead 100 years from 1996 when she did the reading to 2096. And when I went into the future in 2096, I was an engineer in a blue uniform on a Pleiadian spacecraft going up way, way above the Earth. And I could see the other people around me. And it was just a fascinating experience. The planet looked so beautiful. The planet at that time, from what I knew in the future, 100 years in the future back then, was that we'd gone through many changes, but the planet had survived, and the planet truly had turned into a beautiful planet based on love and harmony, and things that we'd had tremendous spiritual growth, tremendous technological growth. And so I took that memory back with me, and since that time, I've been able to get in touch with some really great spirits, including Professor Albert Einstein, Michel de Nostradamus, who also tell me that our future is very, very bright. I don't buy into doom and gloom. I think at one time we were headed for like an Armageddon, World War III, but I think that's changed now. And many of the extraterrestrial contacts that you research, I think, is an attempt to beneficially and benevolently upgrade us here and provide us with important spiritual guidance.
Thank you for that and that sharing, Ted. What I would say for those that still feel that it's all overwhelming and that we're headed for disaster on this planet, I also disagree. Mm-hmm. And I've got two reasons for saying that. And one of them is a personal one, but the one from the children and the amazing, profound information and the clarity from the children. Some of them are, say, under 10, although the teenagers have got lots to offer as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they've come with these abilities, these new abilities, this heightened awareness. They've come on their mission because they know that it's going to make a difference. Because, as they say, you know, I believe that why would they bother to come to this planet if it was a waste of time?
Right.
So, you know, that's the first thing. You know, these aware souls are coming from all over the universes, not just obviously our own one, but the other universes, other dimensions, with their skills to help with this shift of human consciousness on this planet. So there's no way they would do that because it's, you know, it's all going to end up, as I say, in this awful doom and gloom of a planet that isn't going to make it.
Right.
You know, a 12-year-old said to me, that we've been here three times before, we've almost made it this time. There's a 95% chance we're going to make it, this 12-year-old told me. But apart from that, I know from myself that if someone pre-birth said to me, look, Mary, you're going to work really, really hard on this planet. You're going to do all the work that you're doing, et cetera, but sorry, it's going to be for, it's not going to, it's not going to eventuate in anything. I probably, knowing myself, would have said, you know, find someone else to do that because I can't, you know, I'm not very good at things that don't have a good outcome, you know, at the end of the day. So those are my two. But no, these children are very aware that they've come to shift and help with the awakening of this planet. And they're very clear that this is, you know, why they've come with their skills, because it's going to change. And a 9-year-old told me that 2012 to 2017 was the crucial time for this to take place. And I've had a lot of information coming in that this year is crucial and next year is crucial. So we are in a very, very special and important time right now. And our thoughts and how we stay with that positivity is extremely important now, as you will know too, Ted.
Well, I can't agree with you more. I have gotten messages, and I have several close friends who've also gotten messages from the other side and from powerful spiritual beings that there isn't much time. And so it behooves all of us to work double or triple and 10 times as hard to make this planet a better place. I've been told that I was around Atlantis 12,500 years ago as a priest when I tried to turn that mess around and wasn't able to do it, and the entire civilization imploded upon itself. Now I've come around again. You've come. You're here. There's so many light workers on this planet to make a difference, and I know that we're going to be successful this time. I was in Fukushima a week ago, and I was doing prayers with the wonderful Emoto office there for cleanup in the waters off the Pacific from the reactors. And I've been told from my Galactic Alliance friends that they have actually spacecraft stationed there, which are sucking up the radiation. This is why it's disappeared across the Pacific, and this is why the U.S. West Coast and Japan, I mean, there's some radiation, sure, but it's not enough to kill us off. And when I hear different radio programs here in the United States of doom and gloom and that we're all going to die from Fukushima, it's total, absolute nonsense. And I don't want people to think that, you know, that there is a doom and gloom future, because we are all gods and goddesses, and we help create with the supreme being the kind of future that we have. And if we think negatively, we will create a negative future. But that's why I always try to emphasize the positive. And I'm so happy that that you're on today.
Thank you. And with that note, and Masaru Emoto and the wonderful work that he did, and mm-hmm. how it helped us to understand how we can reprogram, you know, ourselves, because we're made up of, you know, 60 to 70% water.
Right.
This 9-year-old in Europe told me that she speaks 3 star languages, and she says one of these languages actually heals water.
Fantastic.
And she speaks this language at water. And the mother said, look, Mary, the water tastes different afterwards. And this is one of her abilities, is to heal water through consciousness and through one of these languages. So these children are coming in with incredible abilities. And we're only just beginning to understand what and how they can actually make a difference.
I know there's probably privacy concerns, but would it be possible I could contact her? I know some people who would be very interested in talking to her, light workers.
Well, certainly I can check with the family.
Sure. Okay.
You know, the main thing with all the children is that they've all got pseudonyms, because mm-hmm. it's very, very important that their privacy is protected, as you know.
Oh, sure.
And certainly via myself, if there is someone that wishes to connect in some way, I can obviously do it via myself to the families involved.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I have a lot of other questions, and I'll have to, if you don't mind, I'd love to invite you back again another time, Mary, because I can't get everything in 1 hour for you.
Absolutely.
You talked about the blue beans. Where are they from, by the way? And what do they look human, or what do they look like?
The blue beans, there's different ones, mm-hmm. and some of them actually do come from the Pleiades, but also Arcturus, from my understanding as well.
Uh-huh.
These were, when I often talk to the children, it's not just one particular species that they may be working with. For example, when I was talking to this 8-year-old who lives in Australia, and he saw himself in a tube where he couldn't move with his couple of school friends mm-hmm. in them as well. And I said, well, what's going on? I said, who can you see? He said, well, I can see blue beings. And I said, so why are you there? And he said, well, that's my yearly medical exam.
Really?
What I want to say, I mean, the interesting thing, there's no fear there, absolutely no fear. What is also important for people to realize with the children is this is all conscious recall.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hypnosis involved in this. They have conscious awareness. And then he proceeded to tell me that then they go into a kind of school environment where there are his school friends and himself, but other humanoids. But he said not all of them were human. And I said, what do you mean? I said, how do you know they're different? He said, well, because their eyes are different. And he said, and we're all using our brain waves, as he called it, to manipulate things and learn things, you know, in this particular environment where they would actually create things almost holographically. And I said, and he said, and some very complex things, he said to me, you know, in terms of the origins of where we're from. He was mentioning black holes, this kind of information. Remember, he's 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what are the complex things that you were taught? He said, I can't tell you because they're too complex.
Oh, interesting.
So you're saying they're too complex for me. And he said, yes. So this sort of put me in my place, didn't it, really?
Mm-hmm.
That this was highly, highly involved. And he was aware that I wouldn't understand it. And this is also something that I think is very important, because I was talking to another 9-year-old in the US, and firstly, I was talking to his father, and this young man said to me, can I speak to Mary? And this is quite unusual that a child would volunteer to speak to me and not knowing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, why is it you feel okay to speak to me? And he said, well, it's because of your frequency.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
And then he proceeded to tell me he was from Orion. He was actually a scientist working on advanced technologies such as time travel. Mm-hmm. And he was a light physicist. Mm-hmm. And he said that he'd come to this planet because he'd got a job to do here. He said the problem is the scientists here are not up to speed with the kind of technology that he understands. He said the nearest to what I understand is Tesla, but that's very basic. So here we've got a 9-year-old basically saying most of our scientists do not have the awareness and understanding that he has. And it's a bit of a problem because, you know, this is what he's come here to do, is to actually work as a light physicist. So, you know, this is the caliber of accounts that I'm getting from. These are children all under 10, for example.
Wow. That's incredible. That's just amazing. That's just amazing. One thing I always like to ask, if we make the right choices, do the children talk about what kind of future humanity has on this planet?
One of the things, the one from Northern Europe that heals water told me, she said that the thing is, human beings, Mary, she said, are absolutely incredible. She said they have absolutely no idea yet of what they're capable of. And she said, and it is, she said, fantastic. But she said, the problem is they don't believe it yet. We've got to believe, as you mentioned before, Ted, about how amazing and incredible we are as beings. We've now got to embrace that and understand that we're capable of anything. And with that, you know, we are all creators.
That's
you
right.
know, everything we think, everything we're, you know, aware of, the frequencies of those are what is creating it now. And to get back to this whole thing with the children, many of them being telepathic, we have to understand that they are tapping into our thoughts. And an email recently from a mother with a 3-year-old little girl said, Mary, my daughter's telepathic. She has been since birth. She taps into my thoughts and other people's thoughts. It's very confronting for me, she said, because I've got to watch my thoughts all the time because, you know, she's tapping into it. And it's very difficult sometimes.
Right.
So we've got to be really aware now that what these children are telepathic. And, you know, what we're thinking is what we're beaming out, and these children can tap into it. So there's a responsibility there for us to look at what we're beaming out and what – And taking responsibility for that, because it's so important now with these new children.
Well, I want to tell you, it was a few weeks ago, I was very privileged to have a gentleman on who channeled Adama, who's the third highest priest of Telos, of the inner earth beneath Mount Shasta. And he said something very profound, Mary. He said that we humans on this planet are all gods and goddesses. And we also have all have the spark of the Creator within us. And we have the power to create a beautiful planet if we want one. And he also said that thoughts are things in the fifth dimension, and that your thoughts in the fifth dimension often do materialize into the third dimension. So if you want a better life, if you want a better future, if you want a better planet, you have to think good thoughts so that those thoughts will materialize into this third dimension. He invited me on the air to visit Telos this summer. So physically, I'll be going there this summer with a friend to visit Telos, and I'm so excited to do that. It's a Lemurian civilization that I think's been there about, he said, 11,500 years, 12,000 years, something like that. They have not had a lot of contact with humanity on the Earth's surface because of the low vibrations, but our vibrations now are cumulatively going higher. And so we're ready for contact, and I'm really looking forward to that. One thing I want to tell you, Mary, as I've been talking to you, interviewing you here on my show today, this entire studio has lit up in this beautiful angelic white light. And that's when I know that we're on the right track, and my spirit friends really like the work that you're doing. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I have to say that I'm buzzing quite nicely over here as well.
What time is it now? It's Saturday there. What time is it there? Is it early in the morning or?
Yes, it's just past 7:45 in the morning. So I did have to get up at 6 a.m. to wake up sufficiently to do this interview.
Oh well, I hope we can meet one day, and then when we meet, I promise I'll buy you a nice cup of coffee to make up for getting you up so early. So early, my friend. Well, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Are there any particular messages from the children that you've interviewed, the over 3,000 you've interviewed, Mary, you'd like to share with my many listeners around the world today?
I think I'd like to reiterate that, you know, what the children are really saying is they're coming here because they know they can make a difference, mm-hmm. and they're coming here to help. And one of the important things, I think, as parents of these children, and this is global, you know, everywhere across this planet, these children are being born with these abilities and this awareness and what have you. And the most important thing I would ask the parents is to listen to your children. Listen to what they're telling you, because they are bringing in now a whole new frequency, a whole new vibration of awareness and knowing. And they're assisting us to help this planet to change and evolve into what really we all have come here to create. So, beautiful. You know, it's a very exciting time. Mm-hmm. It's a very mm-hmm. beautiful time. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's going to be challenging, but we've come here because we know we can do it. So right. if anything I want to convey today is look after your children, be there for your children and listen to them, because they're really the ones that are going to help us and teach us what we need to know so that we can make this planet what it really should be.
Well, that's such a beautiful message, Mary, and I'm so happy you could come on today. You know, you're helping to raise consciousness, too, by making people aware of the of how we are being helped, actually, through our children. We've got a few minutes left. Tell me about your new book that you're writing now, please.
The New Human is really primarily the children, although and teenagers, but it has stories from their parents and some adults as well. The primary reason for focusing on the children is the profound information that they're bringing in. And it's information that's not conditioned out of them or programmed out of them, because mm-hmm. they don't watch talk shows, they don't read books. Mm-hmm. So this has got a clarity that I believe is so valuable. And with it is information about what they understand about themselves, this planet, their purpose for coming, their understanding of not only their past lives, but their origins. They're talking about their abilities. They're talking about what we can do in terms of understanding the new programs, such as ADD, Asperger's, mm-hmm. Some forms of autism, are all new programs, mm-hmm. looking mm-hmm. at what is the gifts with those particular programs, as ADD is always dialed into higher dimensions. It is not a dysfunction. It is a new program for humanity. And I talk about all of that and the need for new schools where their children will teach us what they need to help us to change this planet. So this is the essence of the book, is the profound information coming from our new generations. But more than that, it's about confirming that we're on the track.
Well, isn't that incredible? I've been told by my friends in the Galactic Alliance that as we spiritually advance, our longevity will greatly increase as well, to several hundred years and more.
Well, because we'll have the ability to alter our own frequency and vibration and our biological systems. Mm-hmm. This is the capability of all of us, yeah. not just the children. But they will help us in terms of, with their frequency, this will actually spread across the planet wow. and allow all of us that are beaming these frequencies out, like you are, like all of us are that are on that track, we're affecting everyone around us, not only because we're there physically, because of what we're saying and what we're thinking.
I invite you to listen to my next hour, Mary, at if you're listening live, you go to www.1150kknw.com. And there I'll be interviewing Emma Louise Hansen, direct from Norway, in the next hour. She's a queen from Andromeda. And the messages that she'll be giving us next hour is that how we need to focus in on love and harmony and get rid of the dysfunctional negative things like disharmony and hatred and fighting in order to create a much more beautiful planet. And I think that you'll really resonate with that interview.
That will be wonderful, Ted. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We've got about a minute left, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on today, Mary, and also to give you the last minute to wrap up your beautiful interview.
All I would like to say is thank you, Ted, for all you're doing, because without you doing this and giving people an opportunity to access this information, a lot of my information would not get out there. So I want to honor you and what you are doing and say thank you so much for your mission as well in helping this planet.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mary. There's a few things I'd love to discuss with you off air after the program. If I could I call you later today?
Yes, I've got a session this morning, but if it's difficult, well, we can certainly touch base again, Ted, later.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on today, Mary. That was Mary Rodwell coming to us live from Queensland, Australia, on her studies of crystal children. Please stay tuned for our next hour. We'll be talking to Emma Louise Hansen from Norway.